back to LA Catholic Morning on this Monday. On the line with us is Patrick Nowakowski. You can connect with him at novamedia.us. And he's a writer, he's a speaker. And we're looking, Patrick, and thank you for joining us today, to share this book you have coming out later this year about John Paul II and his visit to Mother Teresa's place in Calcutta. And we're coming up on the 40th anniversary, right?
That's right. So, hey, good morning. Good to be with you.
You too.
So the book is actually about John Paul II, Mother Teresa, their friendship, their collaboration, how both of them really embraced the idea of God's mercy. Mother Teresa showing us visibly how to the corporal works of mercy, in particular through her work with the elderly and the dying, and John Paul teaching us about mercy and divine mercy. And the other thread that goes through both of them is human dignity, how each of us has a dignity made in God's image and likeness, and Mother Teresa restoring human dignity in the forgotten, the people dying on the streets of Calcutta and around the world, and John Paul II teaching us about the value of each and every human person. So the anniversary that you're talking about, sure, is 40 years ago today, John Paul was getting ready for a trip to India, his first trip to India as Pope. And he visited Mother Teresa's home for the dying in Calcutta. And Mother Teresa called that the happiest day of her life. So that's what we're coming up on. Mm-hmm. And if any of your listeners remember the pictures or the video of that, imagine John Paul II, of course, at this point in 1986, during this visit, everyone had heard about Mother Teresa. The whole world knew about Mother Teresa, but the Pope being there kind of brought a spotlight to it. And of course, the Pope understood what she did intellectually, but for him to actually be there in person to see people who were lying on these mats in this big open room dying and walking through and blessing them, he came out of there visibly moved. You could just see on his face. He was actually this man who was so articulate was at a loss for words. He could barely speak. He blessed a bunch of people who were dying. He blessed several people who had already passed away. And he came out of there and gave just a short speech to the media who were there for the event. He said, really, what we're seeing here is the words of Jesus, what you did to the least of these, you did to me. You're seeing that in action for real in our day and age. And that really, I mean, he was already connected to Mother Teresa like his own, like she was his own sister. They had that kind of relationship. But this was a moment that Mother Teresa truly wanted her friend the Pope to visit and finally had the opportunity for that. That's why she said it was the happiest day of her life, so that other people through the Pope could see the beauty of the work she was doing.
Not only that, Patrick, but this is not like the standard place that a Pope would go to, is it?
Certainly, yes.
You know, I think history has even revealed so much more in that meeting than the news of the day did at that time, Patrick. Like, for example, it was just, you know, a Pope doing Pope things, going to where poor and dying and nuns are caring for people. But in the crudeness of our world, looking back on that moment, it really just came to the human spirit and the care and kind of got away from all the surface things to the heart of what the message of following Christ was. And I think that's why it resonates with us still 40 years later. It's because that's what we're all called to do in our own ways. And that was just kind of, that's why I just think it's like a ripple that moment and what that moment brought forth is really still the impact we're 40 years later, we're still talking about it, right?
Yeah, no question. And, you know, one of Mother Teresa's mantras was, you did this to me. She called it the five-finger gospel. She would count out on her fingers, you did it to me, the words of Jesus, commanding us, giving us a command. It was not, this is not optional for any of us. Whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. So we have to ask ourselves, who are the least of these in our community, locally? My full-time job is running a crisis pregnancy center in Northern Virginia. And I contend that the homeless, the immigrants, the girls who are pregnant and unexpectedly and desperate, they are the least of these. These are the ones who are, because of their circumstances, have the greatest need. They're the lepers at our door. And what are we doing about it? Jesus didn't say, you know, if you want to take care of them. No, he said, whatever you did to the least of these, you did to me. And if you did nothing, then we know how that scene plays out. If you read the gospel, it's not good. So we're commanded by our Lord to take care of the least of these. And on a global scale, if we can, but certainly locally, there are individuals who are desperate, who are in need. And what, maybe we can't go to them personally, but we can help organizations like Crisis Pregnancy Centers, 3,000 of them all across the United States, that need our help in order to do this work. It's important work in our day and age.
We have to recognize, though, Patrick, that there's always going to be resistance. Like John Paul the Great came back from India, and he wanted to set up a homeless shelter inside the Vatican, and that didn't go smoothly for him, did it?
Yeah, no, I mean, we had a lot of people on the inside of the Vatican saying, Holy Father, we don't want vagrants running, and they use that word, vagrants, running around the Vatican. But he pushed back. And you know, it's interesting that there are a number of stories of John Paul II. And my first book was about John Paul II. It's called 100 Ways John Paul II Changed the World. And how people told him, well, popes, first of all, they told him popes don't write books. So when he rolled out Theology of the Body as a series of teachings, it was supposed to be a book, but he rolled it out as a series of teachings. But he soon learned that popes can do whatever they want. And so that lesson led to a bunch of books from John Paul II, but he also learned that, hey, if the Pope wants a homeless shelter inside the Vatican, the Pope's going to find a way to do it, and he did. It took 2 years, but he opened up this shelter that's still administered by the Missionaries of Charity called Gift of Mary that serves several hundred meals a day and has beds for 70 people. They have separate dormitories for men and for women. Still caring for the least of these in Rome near the Vatican. And it's such a beautiful work because it gives people who are in desperate situations a chance to kind of slow down their lives and gives the opportunity to be ministered to. And on the street, they don't have that opportunity. So it gives them a chance to encounter Christ and to ponder their eternal destiny and in a way that they never would before. So it's amazing work. And that work continues to today.
I think, Patrick, too, when we look at what history has done just from this, I call it collaboration, deep friendship between John Paul II and Mother Teresa, I think it really, too, highlighted the work Mother Teresa was doing, because I think at the time we kind of had this idea, and even in the past, missionaries that go forth to unknown non-Christian places, and that just seemed like something for the history books. And when you saw what Mother Teresa was doing in the midst of India, a huge country with a huge population, nominally in Catholic or Christian in some areas, and for her to enter in there and say, no, this missionary work still continues today. It's in different forms, and it's with caring and feeding and respecting people. So it was kind of in our latter half of the 20th century, a real reminder that the call to be missionaries is still with us. It may not look the same. You're not sailing across oceans to unknown lands. These places are known to us, but the people are kind of hidden from our eyes, right?
Yeah, well, a couple of things that makes me think of. Mother Teresa did missionary work differently. She didn't go to India to catechize. She went there to care for the least of these, to pick up the people off the street who were dying, who were lived like animals. They, in their own words, lived like animals. But this one man, several, said to her, I lived like an animal, but today I die like an angel. And that's because she showed him the heart of Christ. The other thing, though, in our day, John Paul called for the new evangelization, and your radio program is part of that new evangelization, to preach the gospel in new ways with new passion and new methods to people who perhaps have forgotten it or have never heard it clearly. And that's a beautiful thing. And there are groups like Focus Missionaries and the National Evangelization Teams, young people who go out to college campuses and engage their peers in one-on-one and in groups on how to understand the world from a Christ-centered, Catholic-centered perspective. And so these efforts, we need missionaries in the United States to re-evangelize our nation. And also we need missionaries like Mother Teresa's sisters, which have grown exponentially since her death in 1997, to bring the gospel in new and beautiful ways to people who have perhaps never heard it.
Mm-hmm. One of my catchphrases, Patrick, is that the saints are friends with the saints.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing those photos of John Paul the Great and Mother Teresa, it always just edifies me. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, they had this, George Weigel, John Paul's biographer, often said they didn't need words. They just intuitively understood each other. And isn't that, though, like siblings or even like a married couple in a sense that you know each other so well that you don't need to speak the words. Just a look will tell you, communicate so much. And they just had that beautiful relationship. And I start out this new book will be published by Catholic Answers later this year. But I start out talking about how God sends us the saints that we need in our day. And when Mother Teresa, John Paul II walked the earth together, they were in the news constantly as the two people. When people thought about Catholics and Catholicism through the last part of the 20th century, they thought John Paul, Mother Teresa. And we knew that they would be canonized saints. We just knew. And you know, maybe have to look at who do we have now in 2026 who are walking the earth that could be in 25 years canonized saints.
Yeah, something to
hopefully
think about.
Hopefully a few and me.
Yes. Todd, we could be saints. Right? Saints are friends with saints.
Working on it.
Patrick, thank you so much for joining us. Check out all his good work at novamedia.us.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you, Alan. Always a pleasure.